Blog Talk Radio. There at the top. Hallelujah. We got into something, yes. This is my trance. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day, that we are able to be back here today. Lord, we know that you are a way maker, that you are working God, that you are light in the darkness, your promise-keeping God. Oh God, we just thank you this morning. Oh God, we ask you to allow us to put a message on this here today, to give you glory and honor, O God. or only your objective is to glorify your name, to edify your body this morning and terrify the enemy. This morning we are going to be talking about God. He is an incredible God. This is our message today. He is an incredible God. Hallelujah. You know why we say this? He's an incredible God because only he can do what he can do. You talking about a God that spoke like out of darkness. Glory to God. What an awesome, mighty God he is. So we honor him today. We praise him today. We lift up his name. For he said in his word that if he be lifted up from the earth, he'll draw all men unto him. So this morning we come to praise him, to glorify him, to exalt him. Hallelujah. Give him honor and glory that is due to his name. He is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. If we had 1,000 tongues, 1,000,000 tongues, 1,000,000,000,000 tongues, we could not praise him enough for all that he has done for us, all that he's doing for us, and all that he will do for us. So without further ado, we want to bless you today with this word that the Lord has given us on last night. He is an incredible God. And if you don't believe that, just step out of your house. Step out of your vehicle. Step out of your office and just look outside. Go outside and just stand in the atmosphere and just take a deep breath. And you know that that's not what man is doing. It is him who gave you that clean ear wherever you are that you can breathe. Hallelujah. Some countries you have to walk around with all types of machines because the ear is so bad. But we become ungrateful. I see a man didn't have no feet, but he was happy when he saw the bus come. He had a little motorized wheelchair, and he could drive his wheelchair up the bus. He was happy. He wasn't complaining. But we have cars. We have motorcycles. We have all this kind of stuff. And we are still unhappy. We're still complaining. Today, the Lord wants to speak to us through this word. And if you have ears to hear, spiritual ears, you will hear what the Lord is saying to us. You know, a lot of times we say, it's not about me, it's about God. But do you really, really, really mean that? Because yet still we are fuss and fight if we don't get the accolades that we are looking for from mankind. If we don't get the accolades, we will be disturbed. We will be disturbed in our spirit man. Because the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the bishop, whoever's in charge, it seems like they are praising other people more than they're praising you. They're lifting up this body name. They're calling out this body name, so are not happy. Matter of fact, you're disturbed with the pastor. Why has he got to call her name all the time? Why has he got to call his name all the time? Why can't he call my name? You know, we become disturbed, despondent, and troubled because pastor is not calling your name, not about your name. It's all about Jesus. It has to be all about him. And when we recognize that, we start to see things happening for us. Today we're talking about an incredible God. An incredible God which can do all things but fail. He cannot fail. When you recognize that, your life begins to change. You begin to walk in a new same in the right direction. Let's go to, glory to God, 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter and see what the Lord is saying to us one of my computers all of a sudden don't want to charge. I just truly have one of these things. I don't know what to do. What's acting out? I just truly a computer. So see what's happening. See if this is a charger here, whatever it's doing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing. 2 Peter. I believe it's where we want to go. Glory to God. Here we go. Here we go. We're charging now. I don't know if it's that cord. Let me look in the book and see. Glory to God. This is these books that I got going here. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's start at verse 15. And we're talking about this incredible God. A God who cannot fail. Who never fail. You hear me today? He has never failed and he will never fail. That's why we say he's incredible. Now look at it in the Amplified Bible, starting at verse 15. Moreover, I will diligently endeavor to see to it that even after my departure, this decease, you may be able at all times to call these things to mind. In other words, Paul is speaking, Peter is speaking here, the apostle is saying that listen, I'm laying down some groundworks that when I'm gone, when I leave, when I depart from this world, the devil tried to mess my tongue up here, there, with it, bringing in Paul and Peter. They see, they all both parts start with a P, but, you know. But Peter is trying to get this information out, laying this foundation that when he leaves, hallelujah, he is leaving a legacy, see, of the word that he is preaching, teaching, that when he leaves, the folk would have something to look back on and say, yes, I remember the apostle said that this would happen, that would happen. This is why we got to keep going back to the book. Don't listen to what they're saying on the TV and what they're saying on the internet. Go on, go to the book. The book can't lie. The book is who he is. So Peter says here in the Amplified, for we were not following cleverly devised stories when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, his grandeur, authority, or sovereignty, or sovereign power. Now Peter said, look, we were with him. We got the message directly from his mouth. And we saw him. And we saw him when he arose from the dead. This is not anything that we saw on the television. It is not anything that we heard or read in the newspaper. We saw it for ourselves. And we are telling you, making known to you what we have seen and heard with our very eyes and ears. It's right here. So we're putting this thing down on paper. Glory to God. Verse 17 says, for when he was invested with honor and glory from God the Father, and a voice was borne to him by the splendid majesty, majestic glory, in the bright cloud that overshadowed him, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased and delight. See, the Father spoke from heaven while Jesus was on the cross. He spoke from heaven so that everybody, all the eyewitnesses, would know that this is his Son. When John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan River, he spoke from the heavens. When Jesus came out of the water,
The Bible says that the spirit lighted upon him like a dove. It wasn't a dove, but it looked like a dove. The Bible didn't say it was a dove, but it looked like a dove. Landed upon him because he wanted the world to know, all the lookers, the onlookers, and all the naysayers to know that this was his beloved son. This was not a figment of anyone's imagination. It was and is the Son of God. He is an incredible, incredible God. You can depend on him. You can rely on him. He is the real deal. Hallelujah. He is the real deal. Everything that's within you, you can trust him with. Verse 18 says, hallelujah, in the NLT, we ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your heart. See, we have to get into the word, get the word in us, because it's the word that's going to turn on the light of God into our hearts so that we can see clearly, so that we can understand and perceive what we're hearing and seeing. Hallelujah. We are not going to be like blind people or deaf people. It's here for us to get understanding, to get wisdom. We have to go into the word. Too many prosperity messages are speaking. There are too many prosperity messengers out there in the world. And people are dying and going to hell because they're not hearing the truth. And you know, we say a half-truth is a lie. A half-truth is a lie. So you want to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The judge tell you go to court, and most of them judge are not saved. You got some that are saved, but majority of them are not saved. And they would tell you that the sheriff would hold up the Bible, or the clerk, and tell you rest your hand on the Bible, and tell you raise your hand. And you recite to them that you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, to help you God. That not necessarily mean that when you start to speak in the courtroom that you're going to tell the truth. You say what they want you to say. Where God wants you to really, truly say what you say, what he wants you to say, what you need to say from the word according to the word. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's why you see you got to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study the truth, got to study the word. So he continued to say, above all, verse 20, you must realize that no prophecy is in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. In other words, you have preachers today that they will prophesy all type of stuff to you that they want you to hear, that they want you to want to excite you with. And when you hear it, they tell you, well, yeah, the Lord is saying, my brain, you're going to have that's what you was praying for. You're going to have that new car. You're going to have that husband. You're going to have that. And they're hooping and hollering, and you get all excited. You're going to put your, you want to feel pastor talk to me, the prophet talk to me, and say, well, oh, I was feeling that in the money, and I'm going to surely $500 in the prophet account. I'm going to give the prophet $1,000. I'm going to use my credit card code. They got them sliders inside of the bank. No, they can slide. In church, you can slide. One person was saying, yeah, that all the churches got money machines. You know, you can go in there. You don't have to go no way. They said, just go in the foyer. Just go in the foyer. We got money machine in the foyer. You go in the toilet, go into the bathroom. There's one right by the bathroom. They're all over the church because it's all about money. It's not about your soul. It's not about telling you the truth so you can live the truth and be who God wants you to be. God going to bless you. God going to bless you because he said so. If you live right, if you walk right, if you obedient to him, he's going to bless you. Here, Peter says, he said, all from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. The Amplified says, for no prophecy ever originated because of some man will it, or to do so. It never came by human impulse, but men spoke from God who were born along, move and impel by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. He gave them what they needed to speak for God's people. They didn't just conjure up some story to tell, to put in paper. You got people coming from against this word from every way. They can't stand it. It's like a sword. It's like a thorn in their side. They don't believe it. They're talking about evolving and all this kind of stuff. The church is not evolving. The church is already the church. It's not moving from the church to something else. It's the church. It's not a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You got prominent preachers, bishops saying, oh, the church is evolving. Church has got to evolve because the world is changing. Men is becoming women, now women becoming men. The devil is a liar. Don't you believe that crap. The devil is a liar. You hear what I'm saying? No man can become a woman. No woman can become a man. Like a preacher said, yeah, like no woman can, no man can have a child. They can put the eggs inside a man and put them inside his intestines or something. But he don't have a womb. He don't have a place with his eggs. Hallelujah, to make babies. So this is all what I call it, all chocolate and lemonade and watermelon, they're talking. You know, the man cannot make no baby. A man would never be able to born a baby. Go and have lay down with another man and have sex, and the man put his sperm in the man, and the man have a baby. It cannot happen. It's impossible. It's impossible because God set up a man and a woman in a certain way. Hallelujah. He set up the woman a certain way to receive from a man. And he gave her eggs so that she can, them eggs can germinate in her belly and make her, when he put his sperm in her, they go in to connect with each other so they can make a baby. Hallelujah. God does all the rest of the work. Hallelujah. But glory to God, you know, but they're saying this stuff. John chapter 19. I'm talking about this incredible. He's a credible God. He's a credible. In other words, he is one that is honest. He is worthy. He's trustworthy. He's dependable. With the words he gave me last night, he's awesome. He's holy. He's merciful. He's a forgiving God, a righteous God, loving and long-suffering. He's credible. What he said in his word, you can take it to the bank. You know, we say, God said it, I believe it, that says it. Well, you can take it to the bank. If you really study it and you believe it, you can take it to the bank. I was telling it out last Sunday I preaching there now. I hurt my leg on the ladder, my knee. And I had so much pain, I had to put a band on, strap on my left knee. And when I got up the morning, Sunday morning to go, I don't know, we had a good move of the Spirit on Sunday. And I was in the shower. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm hardly able to step with the left leg, you know. And then it seemed like every time I go to make a step, it seemed like the knee was going to click out. You know, feel like it was going to just break off. I mean, just serious pain. I went in the shower and I began to hit the water on it. The pulse, I put on the pulse, the massage thing, and had it pulsating on the knee. And I keep praying and said, Lord, I'm going to church. I'm going to church, and don't matter, I'm going to the building, and I'm going to fellowship with the church. It don't matter what's going on. I'm going. And I finished and get ready, shave my head, shave my face. You know all the stuff that you do. Get myself ready. Glory to God. I realized the pain started to dissipate. It started to go away. You know, get less and less. And as I was talking and moving in the Spirit and the Lord and going back and forth on the altar, You know how we walk back and forth, forward and backward and side. I realized that the pain was going. It was going. While I was preaching that word, I couldn't see no pain at all. No pain. It just went away. Now, to tell the truth, that soon as I stopped preaching, I'll tell you no lie, that pain came back. You know why it came back? Because the devil come back and start pressing on my knee to make me doubt what God said he was doing. You know, you got to understand that. You can go through the ritual. And we was talking about time for the message Sunday was, there's time for purification. We was preaching about purification of the heart, of the spirit, of the mind. And that's what we're teaching about. So soon as I finished that mess, everybody was just so happy. They were coming up, people was coming up, wanting to shake my hand and stuff, and to God be the glory. You know, when you stop preaching, when you finish preaching the word of God, and you preach a powerful message, guess what happened? All you were saying that God is doing for you, all we do for you, the devil comes to try to block it, try to steal it. He come and try to steal your faith and say, God said, well, son, I'm taking away that asthmatic problem you have with your lungs. I'm gonna fix your kidneys. I'm gonna fix your knee. I'm gonna fix your toe. As soon as you stop preaching, everything you was talking about that's being healed in your body start to show up. The devil start pressing you. But that's why I told the people, when you find that, you gotta say, shut up, devil. You gotta talk to him like that. You gotta get serious. Let the devil know that you know that you know that you know that you're being healed by God. Sometimes he can heal you instantly that you don't feel no more pain. But sometimes, a lot of times, it's a process as you're going, hallelujah. Remember he told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, the blind man? And as the man was going, he washed his eyes, and as he was going, he began to see clearer and clearer. Till finally his eyes was that he could see things as they were. Hallelujah. So you have to keep your faith up. The Bible says in John chapter 9, it's out of chapter 19, verse 28. Let's start at verse 28. Hallelujah. St. John 19. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished. Scriptures might be fulfilled. Saith, I thirst. Now, Jesus on the cross. He's not dead yet. He's on the cross. He has spikes going through his feet. Spikes going through his wrists. It wasn't in his palm like how the people show him he have holes in his palms. No, it went through the wrist bone. Through the wrist. Because if it went through his palm, it would have tore. He would have come down, fall off the place. It would have tore out. But it went through that solid bone in his wrist. He was on there. Back more torn up. Chest torn up. Legs torn up. From the whipping of the cat lying down. Whip. And he know in his spirit, man, that he has accomplished. That he has defeated Satan right there on the cross. He know he has defeated Satan on the cross. For you and me. He had defeated sin and death at the cross. Hallelujah. So He says, I'm thirsty. This is what he said on the cross. I thirst. So the Bible says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, on the herb, hyssop. Hyssop is the herb. And put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he didn't drink it, they put it on his mouth. He tasted it. He said, it is finished. In other words, I have completed what the Father sent me to do. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He died. You see, when you know that you know that you know that you know that you have completed the assignment that God has placed upon your life, you can throw in the towel. There's no point in standing around. Hallelujah. But you have to push on. You have to push on. While you have health and strength, life in your body, we have to push on to accomplish what God has called us to do. No, it's no need to sit on your doing nothing. And this is what a lot of people do. They just sit down doing nothing for the kingdom, but they want to see the kingdom established. Do you hear me? They want to see the kingdom established, but they're not doing anything for the kingdom. All they're thinking about is getting money. I wish somebody would just bless me with some more money. I wish somebody would just bless me with this. Somebody would just bless me with that. No. Get up and let's do something and see what God do for us. If we do what God called us to do for him, he'll do some stuff for us. Young man called me on Saturday. He's a minister. He called me on Saturday, and I prayed with him on the phone. We prayed for a while. He said that I was preaching. I mean, he called me several days before. And keep missing him all the time because I was out there. And a lot of times I don't hear my phone if I'm out in the field. And I returned his call two times, still couldn't get him. Missing him, he missing me. And finally, when I came home on Saturday, I called him, missed him, called him, missed him. And then he called me and got him. We were talking on the phone. And he has diabetes real bad. And, you know, if you have diabetes, you have to, if you get diagnosed with the diabetes, you have to really make an adjustments in your diet. Diabetes diet. You have to make an adjustment. Certain things you can't eat, certain things you can't drink. And then if you know, like I know, you have to start using certain herbs so you can get you can fix diabetes. Diabetes is fixable. But you have to have a what we call a regimen. A regimen of things that you need to do. And then you have to be attentive to doing the things that you need to do. In other words, if you say, well, I'm going to get up at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever time you go to bed. Say, well, if I get up at 6:30, you know, I got to go to work at 7:30, 8 o'clock. I have to do this. There's certain things I have to do. I have to drink this. I got to eat this. This is what's going to help me to overcome this diabetes. And then you say, when I get home at 5 o'clock, this is what I got. You got to use a regimen. You have to be precise. And you have to be attentive, and continue doing this stuff. And you'll get over diabetes. You'll fight it. You'll knock it out. Just like high blood pressure, you got to follow. If I don't follow the regimen, it creeps back upon me. My blood pressure is 116/72 or 70/75, something like that. Last time I had it was dropped down low, but it's right in that area now. Because I'm with the herbs and stuff that I'm using. Now the man, I prayed for him. He said, look, the doctor want to cut off his toes. You see, when they start chopping off stuff, they take off a toe. Then they take off another toe. Then they take off another toe. Next thing you know, they take off your leg, take off, you know, from below, cut off your foot below your knee, down or above your knee. Next thing you know, they cut off another one. You know, they don't stop cutting. That's what they like. They like doing this stuff. But he said, no. He said, Apostle, I don't feel like I want to do that. I said, what you want to do? He said, what do you think I should do? I said, well, I'm going to tell you to do. I'm going to pray with you and hear what the Lord says. So I prayed with him. I said, now you got to wash stuff. You got to take care of the toe. And I said, I'm going to get you some stuff, and I need you to take it. So I went on the internet last night, and I ordered some Freezone, some glucose. Freeze max, glucose freeze max. The same thing I take. Because when they told me my sugar was rising up, but I didn't have diabetes, he said if I didn't do something about it, I could become diabetic. I said, oh, the devil's a lie. And I told him straight, this person, no, you're not going to put me on no insulin because I'm not sticking myself with a whole bunch of needles, you know. And I meant that. So I went away. We're going to get back in the Word. We sit in the Word. Because this is telling you that he's credible. He's an incredible God. And went away and I come back here. A few months after I get back here, I just went and saw the doctor last week. And he was jumping like I was his son. He said, Mr. Callender, Rev, he says, you know, your numbers are all the way down, level. Your sugar levels are level down. I said, praise the Lord. He said, your blood pressure too. Oh, you said your blood pressure is perfect. He said, man, you're 116/72 or 73. I said, glory to God. You got to trust God. So I prayed for the man with the toe. And I told him, I said, God going to heal your diabetes. But when I got home, The Lord said, I got to order him some stuff. And I got him some, I got him a bottle of bitumen, which is for diabetes, and I got him the GlucoMax. It should come here in a couple of days. And Sunday by Sunday when I go to church, I have to give him. He don't know. I didn't tell him that. The Lord told me, get it there. Be a helper one to another. In the book here of Zechariah, book of Zechariah chapter 9, I got a few scriptures to give to you today. Not as much as I usually like to teach on, but I got enough to give you to make up the time that we like to record. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. We're talking about he's an incredible God. The Bible says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The God that we serve, he is majestic, he is sovereign. He is holy, he is mighty, awesome God. Majestic in all his ways, but yet he rides on a donkey. He didn't come in a Cadillac. He didn't come in a Bentley, a Rolls Royce. He didn't have his own jet. He come as a simple man in the flesh. Humble as you know how. You have these preachers today can't even carry their Bible. They so sophisticated, so anointed, so appointed, so approved. They got to have an armor bearer carrying the Bible and the iPad, the laptop. Then they got to have a nurse that bring them water, bring them juice, and put a towel in place for them. They can't even take up their own washcloth that they can wipe their face so for the sweat. But me, I got about 5, 6, 7 washcloths I carry because I get on fire. I get on fire. Then I asked the doctor about that. He said, don't worry about it. He said, you should be proud that you sweat so much because some people don't can't sweat. He said, and they get sick. They get sick a lot. He said, but you're bringing out, when you sweat, you're releasing all the impurities out of your body through your sweat. There's different ways that God releases the impurities out of your body through your urine, through your going to the drought to defecate, and through your sweating. They'll leave your body. Hallelujah. He says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Are you part of Zion? You're part of the church? Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look. He said, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. That's a young donkey. Listen to me. Don't puff yourself up. Zechariah chapter 11. Don't put yourself up. I went to the church. I sit in the back. They called me up to the altar. Said, man of God, come and sit on the altar. I said, well, I'm comfortable here in the back. No. Come and sit on the altar. We get a call. We have a collar on. We have a cross around our neck. We have a robe on. Or we dress down nice suit or something. And we want to go sit right in the front because we are a deacon, we are a minister, we are evangelist, we are prophetess, we are prophet, we are apostle, a bishop. We want to sit right up in the front. No, what Jesus said about that? Don't sit in the place that they have not called you to sit because sometimes they have that seat reserved for somebody else. And you go sit in that seat and then they move you, say, well, you know, we saw the usher coming to where, you know, bishop is going to be sitting in this seat. The apostle is going to sit in that seat. Don't care what gift you have, what title you have. Credible God. He is credible. No, so you sit in the back. Let them raise you up to the front. Because when they come and move you from the front, where you're going to put yourself in that position, you're going to feel really embarrassed. You know, you're talking to yourself, you know. Trent don't want nobody to see, but they're looking. So, well, wow, that man, that woman was sitting up in front, and all of a sudden they're moving him from there. You feel bad. Don't sit in the back. Sit in the back. Then people come and say, oh, wow, they're moving him to the front. They're moving her to the front. He must be somebody special. She must be somebody special. Always sit in the back. Zechariah chapter 11 and verses 12 says, "And I said to them, if you like, give me my wages, whatever I am worth, but only if you want to." So they counted out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. But who is this they're talking about? Judas. Judas. Betrayed the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the good shepherd. The Bible says in this same text, you have good and evil shepherds. You must understand this. Nobody wants you to preach about, they don't want to preach about these phony prophets, these demonic prophets and pastors and bishops and all this stuff. They don't want you to preach. No, well, you're always talking about the men and women of God. Well, it's in the Bible. If you study this chapter here for yourself, from verse 4 to verse 17, talking about good and evil shepherds. Not just good shepherds, but good and evil shepherds. It tells you here, Judas tells the people, he told them, priests, give me my wages. See, I betrayed my master, and I want to be paid for the betrayal. Have you ever thought about that when we decide and say that we're going to walk for Christ, but we end up not walking for Christ, we end up walking for ourselves because we want to accomplish something for doing what we're doing? We're betraying him. I go every Sunday and preach in this church. And I told him, I said, look, if nobody come, preach to myself. Pastor Vic says, she says, many Sundays she went to church and nobody showed up. She opened the door, turned on the air conditioning, turned on the heat, whatever time of the year was. And nobody showed up and she preached. I said, yeah, because when you preach, God sends a whole heavenly host. The sanctuary is filled. Filled with the angels of God in there. That's why you feel chills coming over your body. There's nobody you can see with your natural eyes. But you can feel the presence of God, angels in the house. You don't got to preach because you got to, you don't preach only because you got 1,500 people, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 people before you, or you're going to walk and shake your head and all the act of all this antics you're putting on because you think you're doing something. God didn't move with that. Can you preach if there's only 5 people? Can you preach if there's only 3 people or 2 people? And be excited about releasing God's word. He came on here on Blog Talk Radio years ago. Evangelist Campbell can tell you. And it was only she and I. Sometimes it was by myself. And then she would come on there, me and the Holy Ghost. And I did the message, pray, thank God, and closed off the computer. At that time, I only had one computer. I had a laptop. Glory to God. Here, he says here, in this book of Zechariah, chapter 11, verse 12, and I said to them, Judas, if you like, Judas said to the priest, give me my wages, whatever I am worth, what I'm worth for betraying my master. This is what it's about here. But only if you want to. So they counted out for me, my wages, 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. This magnificent sum at which they value me. So I took the 30 coins and throw them to the potter in the temple of the Lord. Then I took my other staff, union, and cut it in two, showing that the bond of unity between Judah and Israel was broken. Then the Lord said to me, go again and play the part of the worthless shepherd. people of God, this is a word that you have to really go on and dissect. Look at it for yourself. It will bless you. Psalm 22. Go to Psalm 22. He is an incredible shepherd. Psalm 22. Division, 22nd division of Psalms, verse 18. Jesus have mercy. Verses 18. They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. Hear what King David is saying. Speaking the word of God. Jesus saying they divided his garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothes. This is why you see in the crap games, there's always so much of fighting. People are fighting, stabbing, shooting one another. People don't want to lose. And then when people win, they act unseemly. They end up fighting. They fought for God's garments. Playing dice. Psalm 41. Understand that our God is incredible. Once you know that he's incredible, you begin to have more respect, more honor for him. For the calling that's on your life, you have more respect. You know how people, preachers today, they take the office of a minister, the office of a deacon, of an usher. These offices, they're all important to God. You say, but I'm just a deacon. Well, the deacon's very important in the Bible, very important. Because the deacon stands in a position as the prophet, as the pastor go, who's next in line to preach? The deacon. He's the next in line to watch over God's church. So don't take it lightly because they don't call you prophet. They don't call you bishop. Deacon is next in line. Every office is important to God. Every office is important in the house of the Lord. He's a credible God, and he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and he gave each and every one of us assignments. We ought to be proud of our assignments. I don't just left Blog Talk Radio and go to work because I can't. I go because when I need to help people. You know, I need to help people. My son got upset with me yesterday because I told him one confess, and then he sent me a note. He deleted my tag on his post. Says, if I want to talk to him, don't put it on Facebook. I said, love. Because I was upset, you know. I got him a nice four by four, 3/4-ton pickup truck. Nice, very nice. And he now wants to buy a motorcycle. And when he said a motorcycle on, he had a helmet on, new helmet. He probably already bought it already because I know him. He just like when I was young, when he gets a thing inside his mind, he's going to go ahead and do it quick right away. He's not going to fool around. If he said, I want this, I want that, he's going to go do it. You can't stop him. And I thought about it. He's the only son I have. And every time you look around here, you hear somebody dead or died on a motorcycle. Somebody died on somebody left the road and hit a bridge or hit a guard rail, hit a tree in the dead, broke their neck. And I told him, don't make your mother cry. Don't make your mother hold her belly for you. You know? So he was upset. So we're, I'm going to get it, Dad. I said, well, so be it. You know, I'm not going to cry over you. I love you. I love you to life. But if you want to go against my vision, that's on you. Here in Psalm 41 and 9 says, even my best friend, the one I trusted completely, the one who shared my food, has turned against me, Judas. See, the folk that you really trust and depend on and rely on is the ones who can hurt you. I was telling them last night, Sunday, in the church. I said I bought some charcoal capsules because I study a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of different herbs and stuff, and charcoal is very important. If you can't trust nobody today, especially when you're teaching and preaching the gospel. You can't trust people. The people that you trust is the very people going to hurt you. Why? Because the devil is not, the people that you got at odds with is not going to come close to you. You hear what I'm saying? They ain't going to come close to you because they have a problem with you. They're not going to come close to you. You know who when you come close to who going to come? Your nephew, your cousin, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your close friend, the one you grew up with, the one the devil going to use to hurt you. Because why? You trust them. They can come and they can put the bread in your soup, in your porridge, in your gravy. They can soak their bread in there with your gravy. You trust them. So I go on and soak your bread. Eat. Next thing you know, the very one that going to dip poison in your food. Listen here, he said, even my best friend, the one I trusted completely, no if or buts about it, the one who shared my food has turned against me. Then Judas shared with Jesus. Then he supped with Jesus. Then he dipped his bread inside Jesus' porridge. He said, the one who eat with me, the one who's dipping my porridge in my stew, will betray me. And told Judas, do whatever you're going to do quickly. Do it quickly. It's all over this book. He is an incredible God, a dependable God, a reliable God, a worthy God. What he says, he does. Psalm 34. Just give you a little something for today. I got to get myself back in mode. And now putting those cameras. I had the cameras up, four of the cameras. I had it all eight up. Then I had to go take them back down and put them back up again. And I got four to put up because her phone wasn't connecting with the camera. So I had to take them down so she can work on her phone. So Psalm 34 and verse 20. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. You know, they beat Jesus. They whipped him. They tore his skin. They crung him with thorns. They pierced his side with a big old steel rod. That's the spear. Blood and water came out. But not one of his bones were broken. They broke the legs of the thieves. But they didn't break Jesus' life. They didn't break his legs. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53. Hallelujah, Jesus. Isaiah 53. And verses 9, he is an incredible God. He's a credible God. He has done no wrong, Isaiah 53:9, and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. The grave that he was buried in, the tomb, was a borrowed tomb. Hallelujah. A rich man's tomb. Psalm 16. He fulfilled all that the prophets had spoken about him. Psalm 16 and 10. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. His body did not decay while he was laying in that tomb. his body didn't decay. Because the Bible says so here. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel. I like to take you a walk through the Bible. I told him on Sunday every day, I said, look, don't come to church if you don't have a notebook. If you don't have a notebook, a piece of paper, don't come to church. Bring something. I didn't mean that literally. But I was telling him that, I said, look, then you're going to come to church. Bring a notebook or bring a piece of paper that you can write down the scriptures. Because when you're done hearing what the pastor says according to the Spirit of God, because this is what God's given for him. He's first or her. He's or her is the first partaker of what God gave them. But now when you go home and you start to run over them scriptures by yourself, God's going to give you something for you personally. Every time we look at the scripture, we get something new, something different. Come out the scripture. 2 Samuel 23 and verses 2. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. Hear what the prophet is saying. Who is speaking through you today? Or who spoke through you this morning or yesterday? Will God speak through you this evening? Will you allow him to use your tongue as the pen of a ready writer? The Bible said these are the words of David. David, the son of Jesse, speaks. David, the man who was raised up so high. David, the man anointed by the God of Jacob. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, the one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is like the light of morning at sunrise, like a morning without clouds, like the gleaming of the sun on the grass after rain. Is it not my family God has chosen? Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and success. But the godless are like thorns to be thrown away. For they tear the hand that touches them. One must use iron tools to chop them down. They will be totally consumed by fire. We are talking about a credible God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then we put this on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Hallelujah. This is what I like about this in the Living Translation. It says we who are being saved. It didn't say that we are saved. That we are being saved. Let me look at it in King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. The cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The King James Version says we are saved. The NLT says we are being saved. Mean that this thing is working in us because you are being taken from glory to glory and from faith to faith. This is what salvation is. You constantly grow. You're constantly being made perfect. You're not perfect, but you're being perfected. Hallelujah. The more you study, the more you spend time, the more you obey, the more you follow Jesus, his instructions, the greater your salvation. You know, you don't want to do the stuff you should do. People say they're saved, but they're still acting the fool. Why? Because they're not really saved. They say they're saved. How am I going to say I'm saved? I'm still in the crack house. I'm still in the whole house. I'm still fornicating. I'm still committing adultery. I'm still stealing. I'm still cussing. I'm still full of hate. I'm full of jealousy. I'm still compromising. How can I be saved? You got the word saved, but you're not saved, spiritually saved. Hallelujah. Some people say, just like saying, I have a car. But you're walking all the time. Where's your car? You know, it's not in the garage. There's no way. That little car's out on the car lot. Or you draw it on the paper. But you don't really have a car. We said we're saved. But we're not walking a saved life. We're not living a saved life. What made great intelligence? What made great intellectuals like C.S. Lewis commit their lives to Christ? His credibility. Observe some of the Old Testament prophecies Jesus fulfilled during his lifetime. Number one, he would enter into Jerusalem on a donkey. Behold your king. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. He would be betrayed by a friend. My own familiar friend in whom I trusted has lifted up his heel against me. He would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. So they wait for my pieces of silver. They would gamble for his garments. They divided my garments among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. Not one of his bones would be broken. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. He would be buried in a rich man's tomb. They made his grave at his death, that he would be raised again from the dead. You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. John's records. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "It is, I thirst." In full possession of his mental faculties, with his mind unclouded, he checked off the prophecies he was supposed to fulfill, right down to the last one, and said, "It is finished." Christ, he is totally credible, and you can trust him. From the moment of his birth to the hour of his death, Christ's life was predicted in detail, Old Testament prophets. He fulfilled about 40 different prophecies during his lifetime. Statistically, their tongue. The chances of that happening are about one in a billion. Why is it important to point this out? Glory to God. Because voices are being raised that question his virgin birth, his deity, his miracles, his resurrection, and his soon return. Evidently, the same folk were around when Peter lived. He writes, I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when we received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, this is my dearly beloved son, who brings me great joy. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him in the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets, you must pay close attention to what they wrote. For their words are like a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns. And Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us on today. We ask you, O God, as the word has gone forth, and we pray that it goes to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and that it not return void, that it accomplish what you sent it to do, O God. We pray for that person today, Lord, as we pray always. Oh, I would love to send a prayer out there of salvation. We pray that someone today may have heard this word and says, Lord, what must I do to be saved? I want to be saved, Lord. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, I realize that I've been living my life as I please, doing what I choose to do when I choose to do it. But today, Lord Jesus, I believe in your word. Peter said in Acts 2:38 that let everyone repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say some people. He said, but everyone, everybody need to repent. Everybody's not going to repent, though, but everyone need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They need to repent for their sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And be baptized. You see, there's no way of getting around it. We can't go in without laying the cards on the table. None of us are holy. None of us are righteous. But we can be holy. We can be holy by allowing Jesus to wash us in his blood. The blood and the water is what cleanses us. Hallelujah. The water washes away your sins, and the blood cleanses your sin. It cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But you have to come to the cross, to the foot of the cross, and realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then you repent right there, right there. Your cross is wherever you are. You're not going to get in an airplane or get a boat and travel to Jerusalem. You're not going to go to Calvary. You're not going to go to the place called the Skull. Oh, God, you're not going to go. Wherever you are, the cross is there. The cross is there. Hallelujah. You need to bow down in repentance, telling God that you are sorry. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So no one can say, well, you know, I got a good job. I got a PhD, I got a BA, I got an ME, I got a master degree, doctorate degree. I don't need this. I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to be all right. No, you're not going to be all right. If you don't repent and if you don't baptize, to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You're going to bust hell wide open. And guess what? You're going to be broke because your money can't go with you. All the money and all the businesses and all the houses that you're buying up, not one of them can go with you. You can't take one with you. You have to repent, and you have to give your heart, your life completely over to Jesus Christ. Let him know that you are sorry of the life that you've been living. Tell him that you are sorry and that you repent of your sin and that you need him to enter your heart, control your heart. Tell him that you denounce Satan. So, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents. I believe, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah, glory to God. You will not be ashamed. No matter what man bring against you, you will not be ashamed. If you really truly believe in him, if you really give your life, your heart, your soul to him, don't care what man does or say, you will not be ashamed. You will not be put to shame. Hallelujah, glory to God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, the wages, that means that there's a debt that needs to be paid. If you continue to sin, you have to pay the sin debt. There's no way around it. You can't get around it. Do you understand? If you continue to live a sinful lifestyle, you can't get around the debt. You're going to have to pay that sin debt. Hallelujah. It's like buying a new car and you don't pay for the car. You're going to lose it. They're going to come and repossess it. They're going to take it away from you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you got this thing going on and you figure, well, I've got it going on. I have a degree in theology. I got a degree in this and I got a degree in that. Now I've got a degree in science. I got a degree in technology and computer science and all the stuff. But you haven't given your life to Christ Jesus. You haven't repented. You haven't turned away from sin. You live in a promiscuous lifestyle. And you say, well, I'm young, so I don't have to worry about it. But guess what's going to happen? After all of that is done, you're going to have to pay. You can't play without paying. If you're playing, you're going to have to pay. He's going to let you play so long. The devil is going to let you play so long. He's going to let you play, and you're going to feel that you're getting away, but you're not getting away. Eventually, he's going to come and says, take your soul. He's going to come for your soul. And you can't. Nothing Jesus can do because he gives you all the time in the world. He has given us all the time in the world. That's why he said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You gotta understand this. He said you can't buy your way into heaven. You go to the church and say, well, I'm going to buy the pastor a Rolex watch because I'm making plenty of money. That can't get you into heaven. It's only going to make the pastor look good for a moment. Then the Rolex watch is going to get old. Everybody going excited. I can't believe he gave the pastor a $35,000 watch. Like a fellow went up to the church and the bishop was saying they were celebrating his birthday and he got up and said, oh, the Lord just told me. The Lord just told me to write the bishop a $1 million check for his birthday. And everybody was all amazed. This man that did that on his own movie recording studio. He got his own music studio, movie studio, big houses, big castles, all kind of stuff he had. $1 million, none to eat. But he tried to be impressive, see, because they're doing things for sure. They go to the bishop place and they write him a check for $1 million. And all the people, you could hear the gasping for a year. Well, that's not going to get him to heaven nor get the bishop to heaven. Preacher, the guy that write the check to the bishop is a bisexual person. He lives with, sleep with men and sleep with women. But claiming himself to be a preacher now, laying hands on the bishop, and bishop faking out, claiming he falling backward that he got anointed. You know, all this. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't do anything to get you into heaven. The only thing you can do is repent, receive Jesus as your Lord, turn away from sin. That's what repentance is. Receive Jesus as your Lord and begin to live an obedient life to Christ. That would get you in. That would get you in. Not just saying that I believe in Jesus Christ. That people say, I believe in God. That's how the lady had it. I said, many people say they believe in God. You better ask them which God they believe in. And her eyes would open wide. I said, yeah, ask them. And they said, well, you ask them, are you saved? They say, yes, I'm saved. I believe in God. So which God? Because a lot of people say they believe in God, but the God they believe in is the God of this world, Satan. That's why they act the way they act. They don't believe in the God that is saved, that died on Calvary, the one that came about the grave. So ask them. When they say, yes, I believe in God, I'm saved, I believe in God, you say, which God? Make them come out of their mouth. Make them say. Make them testify. Which God? Which God? I believe in God, Jesus Christ. Yeshua, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Tishkenu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Emmanuel. Make them speak out of their mouth. Hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. See, he's the doorway. He is the gate to the Father. You can't get to the Father. If you go in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. The truth is not in you. Listen to me. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 3:17 says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want you to understand this. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. The world don't condemn itself by sinning. You know, I hear preachers say that when Kirk Franklin said, oh, God's not going to send nobody to hell. He is. How can a loving God send somebody to hell? But I tell you, people are going to send themselves to hell. Sin, this living a sinful lifestyle without repentance and turning, if they don't repent and turn to Christ, their sinful lifestyle will draw them in. Because God can't do nothing to you. He can't touch you. Your life is covered in sin. He cannot touch sin. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He cannot touch sin. The only way he can touch you as a sinner, you got to repent. You got to repent, turn from your sin, and come to him and let him wash you in his blood and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Then he can touch you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus. And you have to believe. Disbelieve, not doubting that Jesus died on the cross. It's got to be inside your heart. Jesus said in Revelation 22:7-7, he said, I am coming quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Not quick. He said, coming quickly. So he's coming like a thief in the night. Where you least expect him to show up, he's going to be showing up. He said, well, I've been hearing from the time I was a little boy that Jesus is returning. I haven't seen him yet, but he's coming. He's long-suffering. He's just giving the world a little chance, a little space so that might get their life together, giving them a little chance to get their life together and repent. Because he don't want to lose any souls. See, hell is not made for men and women, not even for dogs and cats. Hell was made for Satan and his agents, all of his wicked demons. That's what hell made for. But men has allowed Satan to deceive them. They have allowed Satan to deceive them, and they find themselves heading towards hell because they refuse to receive the truth, according to Romans chapter 1. They rather serve the creature and deny the creator. You understand? They hate the truth, the world. This is why we got to stay on board and continue to preach the truth and teach the truth, regardless if they like it or don't like it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. If you don't believe, you shall be damned. Damned means that you're not worthy of anything. You reject Christ, and you reject the word. See, when you reject the word, you reject Christ himself, because he's the word. And you become damned. Good for nothing. Don't blame nobody. Blame yourself. And you tell people, I don't want to hear all that talk and all that preaching. So I told them in church, I said, I teach sometimes for an hour and a half, 2 hours on Blog Talk Radio. I said, in the church, I said, I can do that because the people on Blog Talk, they want to get up and go together and go. But I'm still going to record. He would tell me, man, Pastor, I was listening to the word. He said, I'm still listening. And I can pause the word and go in the house and do this and do that and do that and to come back and listen again. So, yeah, but praise God. This is what a likable Blog Talk Radio in the church. The people want to get up. They say after 30 minutes, they get rested. 45 minutes, they want to go. But when we were in the nightclub, you know, they said, last call for alcohol. We said, I told them, they were laughing. I tell the bartender, I want 3 drinks. Because I knew I couldn't go back after that, after the last call. But I took 3. And I would be messed up face, turning every which way, turning every color. But we come to church, and once we hear the preachers preaching, we're squirming in the street. We look in the seat. We're looking at the clock. We wonder when the pastor going to stop preaching, when they're going to end the message. And now we're going to get up out of the church and get in our car, and all of a sudden we get in an accident, we're dead. Got on the motorcycle, we're dead. Because we're trying to run away from God. We don't want to hear no much more about God. And sitting there for extra 5 minutes, extra 10 minutes to save your life. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity right now. You heard the scripture, you hear the call. And now you want to say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today. And I believe what the word says. And I realize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I've sinned. I've lived my life contrary to the word of God. I've allowed Satan to carry me every which way, but the right way. But today I've heard the word, and Lord Jesus, I'm convicted in my heart that I need to be saved, that I need to turn my life over to you. So today I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system, all that it stands for. Jesus, I come to you broken, empty as I am. And I'm asking you to fix me and fill me. Fix my broken heart, my broken mind, my broken soul. And fill my empty heart, my empty soul, Jesus, with your spirit. I receive you now as I open my heart and invite you to come into my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Jesus, order my steps in your word. Oh, God, I ask you to lead me and guide me into all truth. In Jesus' holy name. If you just said that and you believe that uncommon prayer, and you take the initiative to activate what you just said in your life, your life will never be the same. I'm not trying to tell that your life is just going to go from brass to silver to silver to gold. I'm telling that the changes already begun, that you're going to begin to change. Your life is going to begin to take a new stance for life. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus that we teach and preach about, and the apostles that we teach and preach about every single chance we get to come on Blog Talk Radio. And then I want you to call up a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them you have received the gift of salvation, you're studying the Word of God, but you need to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38 and according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. You need to be baptized because baptism is part of your salvation. Hallelujah, glory to God. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why? Because you want witnesses. This is a great time. This is a great time of your life. You want witnesses to be present. Hallelujah, glory to God. You know, when we was in the club, we had all type of witnesses. We had friends, we had co-workers, we had family members when we was in the club. And now we come into church. We want to do things sneaky. We want to act like undercover agents. No, let your light shine. Let people know who you are. You're not afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. Let your light shine that men will see your good works. Hold to God. And then maybe you're going to get baptized and you go down that water. We call it a liquid pool or liquid grave. You're going down in there. You're going down there declaring that all that you had that was held in you captive from God, you're leaving in the water. Everything you're leaving in there. It don't belong to you. You're leaving in the water. And when you come about that water, I don't know about you, but when they come about that water, I tell you, I was running, jumping, skipping, shouting, singing, crying, everything. I've never experienced anything. Even when I was using drugs, I never experienced any feeling like that before. I tell you, it's the greatest feeling you will ever have, going down in Jesus' name, coming up in Jesus' name. It brings a change over your life, too. After you come up out of the water, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. That don't end it. It's just the beginning to your life. You got to get yourself, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. You got to get connected. You know, because a lot of people say, well, I got baptized, I'm saved. That's it. No, it's more than that. Because now you got to start, you got to find a church where you can fellowship, get together with believers that teaching and preaching and doing the same things, following Christ, because you need to know you got to water. It's like a plant. You just don't put the seed. You just don't put the seed in the ground. Leave it. You know, you got to take the hose out there and you got to water. I got cucumbers and watermelons and all that stuff growing in my garden. I have to go there every so often and take the hose out there and water them. Why? So that they get nourishment. So that they can grow. So you have to water your soul. You have to water your soul with the word, not with a lot of foolish stuff. You don't want no prosperity stuff. That don't do nothing for your soul. That does stuff to your head. Get you excited. I'm going to get a new this, a new that. That don't do nothing for you. Like I said, when you get all the money in the world, you can't take it out of this world with you. Somebody going to try to kill you when you got it, to get it from you. And if you die without somebody killing you, somebody going to try to get it anyway. They're going to try to get out your bank, out of your safe, wherever you got it hide. You can't take it with you. Only what you brought into this world. What you came in here with your spirit, that's what you're going to take out of here. The flesh going back to the dirt. You didn't bring no money in here, so you can't take no money out of here. And if you put your world express on your hand going over here, some undertaker, some grave digger going to try to get it off your head. I tell you, even if you have false gold teeth, they take it out of your mouth. I tell you what I know. So you want to have something that's not going to perish. Feed your spirit, man. Get yourself connected with brothers and sisters that teaching, that living the life, everybody that go to the church ain't living the life. Go to the building. They just go to the building. That's all they do. They go to the building, but they're not the church. So you want to get to the church, and then your life going to change, man. It's going to change. Every day your life should change. Something will happen. I know something that's dealing with that I'm dealing with, and it's a mess me up. I ain't got to tell you all, but I'm telling you now. If the Lord convict me of that on Sunday, I'm coming home. I just preach a powerful message. People crying. People, I want to shake my hand. People telling me, "But oh, wow, God, could God be the glory?" And I'm coming home, and I'm coming home. It's a good 45 minutes, an hour from the church, and a little over an hour, depends on the traffic. And people drive through the neighborhoods crazy. I mean crazy. Some people go through the stoplight, don't put on no signal. And I started getting agitated. I said, man, these people don't signal. You know, it's getting hard in your spirit. And I got to ask God, forgive me. Because as soon as I finished preaching that message, here come the devil. One guy almost took off the side of my car. I had to go from the lane that I was in almost over on the other side to the other side of the street from him hitting me. And he looked like he didn't do nothing. But I'm coming to a neighborhood where people just shoot you. They love shooting, you know. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help me to just be patient. Help me to just lay back and let the folk go ahead, you know, and watch them go through the lights. Watch them do this. Watch them do that. Because why? Enemy is very smart, man. He wants to take your peace. He wants to take your joy. He wants you to step out of your righteous walk, your holy walk. You understand? Don't let him do it to you. Remember who you are, whose you are, that you serve a credible God. God bless you all. I love you guys so much. But remember, God loves you more. The line is open if anyone wants to come and add to the sermon. The line is open.
Yeah. God bless you, Apostle. God, love you, man.
God bless you.
God bless all the apostles, ministers, prophets, and prophets. Just everyone in their respective place. Thank God for more of your word and a word that can help us to live. I would say no man should live by bread alone, by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Thank God for the word. I like what you said at the beginning. I was trying to unload and get done. It's been so hot, man. I almost got dizzy yesterday, man. I had to pray, God. I felt like I was in a furnace, but God kept me. I was able to make it through. But just got to finish in my last throw ahead to go and get another load. And I said, listen to what you're saying. I said, when you said, if you don't believe in God, how good God is, just walk outside. Man, I tell people that all the time, not, you know, try to, you know, get no proof on that. But I said all the time, I said, man, you can just look outside and see how good God is. Just look outside, look at how he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. How he put everything in his place. And how he, and we don't have to pray for the sunlight free. You know, man can control that. They're about to charge us for that. And we'll be paying taxes for the sun. So thank God they can't control that, even though they're trying to. They're trying to, you know, create their own, you know, solar system where they create, you know, get sunlight or whatever. And they probably got technology to do it, even with the weather. But just thank God for his beautiful clouds. Looking at them looking like cotton balls, man. God has some beautiful, beautiful. God, everything God created was so beautiful, his creation, everything he done. And I just thank God for what you said. When I first heard you saying, then I was interested in what you were saying. And I was thinking about, I think it is John. Chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word was with Him, was anything made that was made. And people don't really know, we're in a generation now, they got so satanic and so evil that they figure if they can get rid of the name of Jesus and get rid of the truth, that the Word of God is going to change and God going to change his mind because they think they got dominion on the planet. Man, they lost his dominion. You got, we're walking in the laws of us, the lawless one, and we got angels, fallen angels controlling all the leaders now. And so, you know, man has lost their dominion when they stopped serving God. And it's just sad we in a time now, man, think that they could just change the way God already said with his laws when he gave them to Adam. You know, he made a woman and male and female, and then created the different animals, and man think they can come and redo all that. You got scientists that done been doing all type of stuff, cloning and using all kind of scientific things that they've been doing, trying to recreate what they're not creating, and they create monsters because of that. You know, they keep it on the hush. I hope they don't, you know, they'll close down your radio broadcast because I said that. But it's just sad that man that got so wicked and they think we're going to live on this planet and live a kumbaya, utopia life without God. And it's like the planet going to fall to you, and we don't need you, God. You created this planet for us, and we got it now. You done did your part. Let us handle it. And, man, really, they're fooling their own heart. God laughing at them. So they're stupid. But I don't mean to say that word. They foolish. You know, and they think they're going to live on the planet and enjoy God's planet and recreate it, try to use technology to try to get away from God. Like, that's going to change God's mind by destroying his planet and destroying them that's sin. And so it's just sad, man, the time we're living in. Even when you're talking about how they're trying to change the sex agenda, they got so desperate now that they're trying to allow the young people to go and change their agenda without the consent of the parent now. The child can go and sue the parent if the parent that disagrees with them going and changing their sex now. It's just that wicked, man. It's just that wicked, the time we're living in. And it's sad that the devil, I know the devil, he's laughing at these fools. He laughing because he got a man doing it to themselves. I believe the devil is the first homosexual. I believe he was of God. If you kicked him out, I believe he was the first homosexual, because if you look at Revelation, he said he's not going to die a woman. And I believe he's the first homosexual, because his agenda, and he pushing his creation is the fermentation of homosexuality, men looking like women and women looking like men. That's his creation. And that's why God called it abomination. And so, you know, it's just sad that. And then you got women that they got changed their sex and they having babies, and then they trying to say that's a man having a baby. And really, actually, that's a woman that got her body cut off, and they got her looking like a man so they can justify men keep cutting on themselves, saying that a man can have a baby by pushing their agenda. If you see a person that says a gender that had a baby, that's a woman that got her sex changed. And it's just evil that's going on, man. The devil, you the man. And I just ask God to have mercy on us. Thank God for Christ. If it had not been for him, man, we wouldn't even be here. Man won't even exist. What if Jesus, he said, they said, if you're born in Genesis, he said, let us make man. And when he made man, now, if he wouldn't have never spoke that, the Bible says the man should live by bread and not man. Jesus even told Lucifer that no man should live by bread alone, but by every word that was said out of the mouth of God. It was the word of God that spoke man into existence. If we get rid of God, then we won't exist. And that's what man don't understand. When we start talking about, oh, we don't need no God, and they want to, you know, change the Bible. Now you got them thinking that they can change the Bible and rewrite the Bible like God going to change his mind. God's word is forever settled in the heaven. God is not going to change his word to fit man and their agenda. And then, you know, they make laws, and see, they use crafting it, but they know the Bible says we got to follow the laws of the land. So what they doing, they going in, changing the law to justify so we can go along with the lie, too. Instead of, you know, God never told us to go along with something that's against him. You know, and it's not, you know, and so it's just sad the time we living in that we got to really pray and then keep ourselves humble. You know, I heard you talking about, you know, being humble as a man of God, you know, knowing your place. You know, I learned that. You know, having humility as a man of God, integrity, not having a spirit of pride. You know, when you've been in a sanctuary and then you go somewhere, you go in a sanctuary, you think you got to be in a pulpit all the time. You don't have to build all the time, unless they ask you, you know. And that's how I am. I get up there and I know when to be up there and when to sit down and be in my place, you know. And you just got to stay humble. And then God can use you when it's your time, you know. We just at the time now where you got some leaders. I ain't going to say all. People that say God called them got working, operating in the spirit of pride, and they can't help themselves. They got to be on the scene. They try to make a name for themselves. They want to be the number one stunner. And you can't even come together with some of these people that got a spirit of pride and their head blown up like a balloon. You can't even have a prayer or something with all the men of God and women of God come together, because you're going to have one in there that's a devil that got to prove a point. They got to prove that they God talking to them too. Instead of us doing the will of God, lifting Jesus up like you said, lift him up, they try to lift themselves up, saying they used to lift Jesus up, and they not living no more. You can see the gospel artists doing the same thing. A lot of them started off right, and they fall away from the faith. And they used to say it was about Christ, now it's about them getting a paycheck now. It's about, you know, making sure people lift up Christ and lift him up and glorify God. It's all about making a paycheck. And then they call the men you hating, the young generation out, these new preachers, with no Bible. They hear the pulpit with no Bible, their own theory, their own what they think and what they believe, calling. They should call the people a hater. How can we be a hater? We one body, one spirit. I'm a saved body. Why would you hurt? Why would you get mad at the body for telling you you wrong? And it's just sad what's going on, and people don't know the difference. You know, that's why you need the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it, ask God to help you get the Holy Ghost. And if you're devil-minded or lukewarm, ask God to help you not to be lukewarm so you won't be like the five foolish virgins. That's why I start every day, Lord, don't let me be like the five foolish virgins. Help me to be wise. I thank God for the word. Love you. Man, God, you be encouraged. Keep doing what you're doing. God going to take care of everything. As long as you keep them first. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. If you could pray for us and close us out, we'll see you all on tomorrow if the Lord say the same. God bless you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless your name. Thank you for your glory, honor, and your power, Lord. Thank you for another day. Lord, it's a day you have made and we'll rejoice and be glad therein, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power of repentance, Lord, that he brought out at the end about repenting, Lord. God, we repent today, Lord. We haven't done all we're supposed to do with. God, we made promises that we didn't keep, and if we haven't finished the work that you began in us, God, help us, Lord, to do better as men and women of God, Lord. I repent for all these, God. Help us to do better. Help us to be holy. Help us to be better examples. God, that the world can see your glory, God, that you'll be lifted up and men will be saved and delivered and set free. God, we pray for Africa, Lord, God. Continue praying for Africa and other countries that are suffering and that's going through turmoil and war, God. We pray against race wars. God, we pray against evil and everything that the enemy tried to do. God, we plead the blood of Jesus against every trap, everything you try to set. We plead the blood of Jesus against sickness and disease. Lord, you say, with your stripes, we are healed, God. So, God, help us, God, to get in that place where we can be healed naturally and spiritually in your spirit, God. Keep us throughout the day. Cover us with your blood. God, let this word not go out void. God, help us to hide the word in our heart that we won't sin against you. In the name of Jesus, help us to be holy and acceptable in your sight. And, Lord, we forever bless your name, give you and the glory, Lord. Continue blessing this radio broadcast and every prayer warrior, God. And continue praying in the spirit. Help us always pray and not to pray. And, God, we forever bless your name, give your name and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for Minister Jones. And Lord, we thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser, who is faithful, Apostle Stewart, who is faithful. Lord, we ask you to bless them. Thank you for Minister Prophetess Kershey, oh God, she's busy sending me a lot of stuff. We thank God for her and for her ministry, for the prayer line. Lord, we pray for the United States of America. We pray for the Congress and Senators. And for the House of Representatives, we pray for the Prime Minister, the President, and the Vice President, oh God, the Supreme Court Justice Department. And we pray, Lord God, for the Police Department, Fire Department, the doctors and nurses, teachers, husbands and wives, children, oh God. We pray today, oh God, for all the lay people, the apostles, the prophets, the prophetess, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. We pray for the deacons and the ushers, oh God. We pray for everyone that's working, the janitor, Lord God, in the ministry, Lord. But Lord, we ask you to touch marriages today as always, oh God. So many people are getting divorced in the house of the Lord, oh God. We pray, Father God, for anointing to come and destroy the yoke, oh God. Remove the burden that's over the satanic, that snake spirit that's over the houses, oh God. We pray today, God, that you begin to release an anointing to destroy yokes, oh God. Remove burdens, oh God. Raise up the people, oh God, in a strong way. Oh God, raise up the people in a way, oh God, that they begin to see truth, hear truth, walk truth, live the truth, oh God. And Father, we be careful to give you all the glory.
glory, God. We ask you to stretch out your hand over the United States of America, over Africa, over India, over China, over Japan, Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, Syria, oh God, China, Taiwan, Brazil, oh God, the Bahamas, oh God, Amsterdam, the Fiji Islands, oh God. Oh God, the Caribbean, over, oh God, all over Europe, oh Father God, over Canada. Yes, Lord. Oh, Father, we ask your God to begin to bring change in the earth realm, oh God. Father, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. You said if the people which are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from the wicked way, you said you would hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our lands, Father. You said if we call, you would answer us and you would show us great and mighty things that we have no knowledge of. Father, we are calling today because the land, the people, oh God, are suffering, oh God. Oh, God, the people are suffering. They're destroying the produce, they're destroying the vegetation, the scientists and the governmental officers, oh, God. The government officials, oh, God, are destroying, oh, God, the vegetation, oh, God, causing the land to suffer and causing the people to suffer. God, they have developed a machine. Now the United States of America has developed a machine, oh, God, that can start fires from in the sky, oh, God, a laser machine just like they did in Hawaii. Can start the fire. They can shoot, oh God, laser beams on the earth and start fires from the satellite system. Lord, we pray today, oh God, for mankind. We pray for humankind, oh God, that you will begin, oh God, to transform the minds and hearts of men and women, boys and girls, oh God, that as the world gets, the people, the children get wiser, they get wickeder. The Bible declared that they should be wiser and wickeder. But Lord, we know that, God, that you have wisdom that man cannot even comprehend. So we are calling upon you this morning, oh God, that you would touch, oh God, touch the hearts of men and women and create clean hearts and right spirit in men and women, oh God, that men should not live to destroy mankind, but to help mankind to live to honor you, Lord God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, even as the minister has already prayed to close the line, that as we leave this land, but never your presence, oh God, that you would be with us, that you would bless us coming and going, that you would make us ahead and not the tail, that you would set us above and not beneath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I love you all. Have a blessed day. And I will talk to you all soon. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.